Are you ready? It's time for On the Double with the Double S Express. Great sports talk and big time guests with Sean Wally and Sean Boyd on the Double with the Double S Express.
Yeah, when I first saw that bikini top on her, she's popping right out of the South Georgia water. Thought, oh good Lord, she had them long tan legs. Couldn't help myself, so I walked up and said, well, baby, you a song. You make me wanna roll my windows down.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to this edition of On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Boyd going solo for the first half of the show. My co-host Sean Wally is out on assignment, and he will be with us halfway through. First and foremost, I have to say congratulations to Mr. Wally for a job well done. This is something that has been in the makings for a while for Sean Wally. And just to let everybody know and to share with our listeners the excitement, Sean Wally has accepted a MC position with the world famous Harlem Globetrotters. And so Sean Wally will be on the courtside at an arena near you. He's on a slate for about 4 months here on traveling with the famous Harlem Globetrotters. And I am the first to say that I am so proud of my co-host on obtaining this, and I know that there are going to be some great things. So definitely, if you wanted to call in and congratulate Sean Wally on this tremendous feat, please do so. Of course, again, he'll be in at around 7:30 at the bottom of the hour, but you can call in to the show at 888-429-5471. Again, 888-429-5471. And if you wanted to call in again and congratulate Mr. Wally on this tremendous achievement, please do so. Or if you wanted to just talk sports and talk to me, Sean Boyd, about some of the things that have been going on, we're going to catch up on these things during that's gone on this past week. We have two great guests on the show. Our guest number one will be Denard Wilson. He is the high school basketball coach for the Grant High School Pacers here in Northern California, in Sacramento to be exact. And Denard has done some great things, and we will talk with him about some of his achievements and some of the things that he would like to accomplish this year and talk about his goals. And then guest number two, we'll have Seahawks insider from the News Tribune and also ESPN blog, and that is none other than Greg Bell. So we have an exciting, exciting show on slate. And, of course, there are some things that have been going on over the past weekend, and I would be remiss if I didn't start out by congratulating University of Oregon, Marcus Mariota, for winning the Heisman Trophy this past weekend. Marcus, of course, has done some great things, junior at the University of Oregon, and is leading his team to what looks like to be a national championship. Of course, they will be playing in the Rose Bowl at the beginning of January, and of course, in that playoff setting against Florida State, and it looks like that one will definitely be a great one. But again, congratulations to Marcus Mariota on winning the Heisman this past weekend. And not only did he win the Heisman, he won it by a landslide. I believe it was the second highest point percentage in Heisman Trophy history, and that was, I believe, 90%. And of course, you know, with Marcus being a Hawaii native, being the first native Hawaiian to actually win the Heisman, two tremendous feats. And again, you know, just a great athlete. And I know that he will be on a lot of teams' boards going into the NFL draft this upcoming summer. And, you know, again, congratulations to Marcus Mariota. Congratulations to the University of Oregon. Again, he not only is he the first Hawaiian to win the Heisman, he is also the first Oregon Duck, which, you know, is, I believe, will open up the floodgates for more Ducks to actually win the Heisman. And so, again, congratulations to Marcus Mariota on that feat. And so I want to shift gears a little bit. There are some NFL games, and, of course, with the Pacific Northwest and Northern California colliding this past weekend. Of course, Sean Wally and myself love to talk about the Seahawks, the Raiders, and the 49ers. And this past weekend, the Seahawks and the 49ers had a little meeting up at CenturyLink Field. And, of course, it looks like it was the same old hat. San Francisco 49ers falling to defeat to the Seattle Seahawks 17-7. But I can tell you, this one does not go without a little bit of controversy. You know, it was a 10-7 game. I believe in the third, I believe it was the third quarter, 10-7. And there was a roughing penalty that was called, and that has been the talk all day, is this roughing the passer penalty that was called against Mike Moody that actually set up a 17-7 lead, which actually wound up being the final for the Seattle Seahawks. But what that does for the Seahawks is that puts them in great position here to set up for, you know, not only for their Super Bowl run, but for the NFC West championship title again, 2 years in a row. And of course, they're sitting at 10-4 and looking up at the Arizona Cardinals, who they will face this weekend. And so that should be a huge, huge ball game for the Arizona Cardinals and the Seattle Seahawks. And so, you know, that was a huge game. Of course, there's another game, the Oakland Raiders actually taking on the Kansas City Chiefs. The Oakland Raiders winners of two of the past three games. And it looked like the Raiders were picking up some momentum after defeating the San Francisco 49ers last week and then looking to face the Kansas City Chiefs for a second time. Actually, and the Chiefs were one of the teams that the Raiders beat to go onto that streak. And so, you know, but the Oakland Raiders came up short 31-13, looking like a team that is still trying to identify themselves after 14 games into the season. But, you know, those are the breaks. I mean, you're looking at the Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, all these things we can talk about a little bit more, but I want to shift gears and go out to the holysmokenuts.com phone lines. And I want to welcome in my first guest, Denard Wilson, Grant High School basketball coach. Hey, Denard, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. How you doing, coach? You know, you're always going to be coach to me as well, man.
Well, thank you very much, coach, and I appreciate you for being on the show. And, of course, Sean Wally wishes that he would be here. But as you know, or if you're listening, you know, Sean Wally has done some great things. He is now one of the MCs for the Harlem Globetrotters, and he will be traveling around the country with basketball's finest. Isn't that something?
Oh, that's great. That's great. So I got to give him a shout out and congratulate him on that.
Yeah, it's exciting. And so he's on his way back. He was just down for some training down in Arizona, and of course he'll be on with us at the bottom of the hour. But, huge, huge congratulatories for Sean Wally on that. And I know that's going to open the doors for many, many things to come for him in his future endeavors.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And I can hear the excitement in your voice when you're talking about the whole Pacific Northwest. I know those are the stomping grounds. So, you know, I can see your chest kind of pulse, out through the phone. I can hear it.
you never forget where you come from, and so it is. It's exciting, and you know, Sean, with working with him, when we were on the sidelines, on the radio right. show there on the sidelines with Don Elias and of course the Guru, and you know, and those fun times that we had back then. But let's talk about the Grant Pacers. Let's talk about your boys basketball team starting out 6-1 on the year. Getting off to a great start here, and of course you had a tournament down, I believe, in Stockton this past weekend.
Yeah, we played tough. You know, the exciting thing about the McDonald's Pass, which the athletic director Ricky Lynch, they always do a really good job with that tournament. So yes, you know, we went 6-1, and I have to give a shout out to my Division II section champion football program. So we were without yes. you know, our football players, so we went in there with the babies. We went in there with the youngsters. But they're playing us proud right now, really proud.
Yeah, so you saying that you went in with the youngsters is an understatement. You have a lot of freshmen on the team that have actually righted the ship here early goings. I mean, let's face it, 6-1 is 6-1. And so I know that you're looking forward to having some of the upperclassmen come back and start out, start this season going.
Oh, I'm excited to have them, you know, because we go back, you know, I have a young group now that they remind me a lot of back when, you know, when we had Sean, when we had your son out there playing, that great Sac High youth group. And, you know, those were one of those things I really patted myself in. That showed that you can have these young guys playing, you know, at the varsity level, even at that young age. When they can play, they can play.
Yeah,
so I'm really
exactly.
Trying to get those other guys back.
Yeah, that shows a lot of depth, Coach. That shows a lot, of not only depth that you have on your team, but, you know, the true leadership. I mean, this isn't anything new for you guys. So, you know, last year you finished 27-7 overall, 9-1 in your league. And so now this year you're embarking on a new league, and it's going to be a tough one, of course. You know, you have the likes of Elk Grove and, you know, Monterey Trail and Sheldon High School, just to name a few of them. And so, yeah, it's not going to be an easy task.
Oh, no, I definitely I look at it as though it's the ACC Pac-12 or one of those conferences. You know, we're going to have Pleasant Grove with Marquise Chris in the league right now. So we'll have to see him. Then we'll have to turn around and play Sheldon, you know, where your son's at. You know, I mean, I'm excited. I'm really excited. And Jesuit's in our league now.
Yes. And so, of course, you know, you can't go wrong in trying to see where you fare against a strong Jesuit team. I mean, these guys are going to be disciplined. They're going to press you. They're going to, you know, throw everything at you. And you're going to have, you know, sure stamina to actually take on the likes of a Jesuit. And it is. It's a very strong league.
You know, it is. But one thing I try to tell everybody, you know, I tell my guys every day, you got to play like a Pacer. And the one thing that, you know, I know my guys are going to do, they're going to show up, they're going to go hard, and they're going to leave it all on the table. You know, I think right now we're probably picked to finish about fifth in league, and that's exactly where we want to be picked in the preseason. Because, I tell these guys, you know, we don't worry about being good early. We want to be good in March.
You know,
won't be the first time, you know, we've had to march into Argo as an underdog. So we like that position.
Yes, and it is nothing new to you. And, of course, you always have a team that is very sound. And as you're saying, a team that's prepared in February. And last year you had such a great run. Of course, you know, one of the runs that you had was defeating, a couple of years ago, actually, a strong Sac High team. And you did the same thing last year as well. And so, you know, definitely putting the Grand Pacers – back on the map as far as basketball is concerned. You're doing an awesome job at it, Coach.
I appreciate it. And, you know, I got a lot of guys that help me, a lot of really good guys out there. I like to believe I got the best staff around. And, you know, they lead by example. And when I say play like a Pacer, I mean coach like a Pacer, too. You know, give it your all, put everything into it, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
Now, it's not easy, Coach. Of course, you know, you're coaching in an inner city school, and, you know, there are always, you know, these monikers that go with, you know, inner city schools. But you have done an awesome job as far as, you know, teaching these guys the right way. And what I mean by that, there's on the court basketball coaching, and then there's off the court tutelage and posturing as far as being a leader. Kind of give us an idea on what that's like as far as, you know, not only just being a coach, but being that figure for your kids moving forward and teaching them about life.
Well, you know, that's, for me, that's kind of the easy piece. You know, what I like to tell, you know, anybody when they talk to me about the Grant Pacer program and where we're located and what we have, all kids are good kids. It's a matter of bringing out, you know, that, and I don't want to say that's, I'll say they're great. It's a matter of figuring out how to bring out that greatness in them. A lot of people laugh at me because I say the one thing about Grant is we don't have a kid problem. At times we have parent problems. We have area problems. We have economic problems. But the last thing we really have is kid problems. And if I know going in, it's the kid that's not the problem, and it's up to me to help, you know, clear up some of the other areas where we're damaged. You know, it makes it fun. It makes it easy. And I think all of these kids really want to be led. They're just looking for somebody willing to do what it takes that they can trust in to lead them. And as long as I take that attitude, you know, I've yet to have a problem.
And coach, this is something
that's
easy. Yeah, and coach, this is something that when you signed up to be a coach, you knew full well that this came with the job. You know, being there for them, actually, you know, being that ear for them to, being that listening ear for them. And so, you know, there are so many kids, there are so many athletes that, you know, we're opening up the newspapers and seeing on television some of the bad things that are going on. You know, you can pinpoint, you know, a handful of these situations, at the college level. Kind of give our listeners an idea on what that's like as far as, you know, just being ready every day and always being on, you know. Go ahead, coach.
Well, I was going to say, that's the part that, you know, I mean, I don't want to sound, you know, arrogant or anything like that, but that's the part that comes easy for me being at Grant. I mean, I chose Grant. That was the one job I wanted. I mean, it's like some coaches, they go, they apply for a lot of jobs, and all jobs aren't good for everybody. So, you know, my dream job and a job that I would do for free, well, I mean, you do it for free, but the one thing that I just do it because I love it, is being at the type of school that Grant is and just having a passion for, you know, try to help achieve close the achievement gap of some of the African-American and minority males. It's just when it's your passion and when you know it's the place you want to be, it's a no-brainer. And you know you're where you're wanted. You know, the staff that hired me at Grant, they hired me for a reason, and I wanted to be there for a reason. You know, I mean, I was looking today, and not to switch subjects, but we're looking at the situation that's going on with the Kings and why Malone might just not have been a great fit. I don't know if they were put together because everything was run so fast, or if they truly wanted each other from the very beginning. And the one thing about the Grant job is I think Grant wanted me just as badly as I wanted them, and that's from the area, from the neighborhood, to the kids, to the administration. We all wanted and needed each other. And this, you know, this is my – I'm going into my fifth season, and, you know, I think most of the success that I've had – or that we've had has been because we all had that one common goal.
And that speaks volumes, coach, because, you know, let's face it, if you're in a situation to where you're not gelling with, let's say, the administration for your, you know, with you, but if you're not gelling with the front office, it makes it for a tough situation. You're seeing that now in the NFL in San Francisco with John Harbaugh. And, you know, the front office with Trent Baalke and Jed York. And you're right. If the whole organization, meaning the administration, the teachers and the coaches, can't come together and help these kids, you know, to get to the next level, whether it's in education or athletics, it becomes a tough road to hoe.
It does. You know, so I think that's why, you know, I mean, it's definitely an uphill battle. But even, you know, even when it being an uphill battle, everybody has that same common goal. And you know, you mentioned the 49ers. I think the one goal they have in common is to win, but at the same time, they're not even close to being on the same page on how we want to win. And I think at Grant, we're all on the same page on not just we want to be successful on the floor, but off the floor. One of the things we did when I first got there was we had a waiver system for kids coming up ineligible. He gave everybody that day and future players a one-time waiver, and we said we'll no longer do waivers, even though CIF allows them, our district allows them, but Grant doesn't allow them. So it's every child that's playing any sport at Grant, they are definitely not on a waiver, and they're held to they're held to our standard.
Yeah, that's definitely, you know, a great standard to have. And so, and coach, you know, this is one of the subjects that I like talking with our guests who are coaches, as far as the work-life balance is concerned. You know, kind of talk about that, you know, that work-life balance and the time and the toll it takes for preparation and coaching.
Oh, man, the time that it takes. You know, fortunate for me, I turned down a couple of other jobs because I knew the commitment level, because it's my passion of what I wanted to do. So even though I'm an off-campus coach, I probably still spend between study hall, the academics, and just being around the kids. I probably put in about 4 to 6 hours a day, aside from my job. You know, what? Just because I know that's what's needed. We have a rule that there is no punishment for missing being at practice or any basketball event if it's a life event that's taken. When I said life event, school or home, there is no penalty for taking care of those things because you do have to balance, you know, life and sports. And 99% of our kids, you know, when high school is over, so will the sports piece. So you have to have that balance. So we just go ahead and give them that now and just putting their priorities in order. I've tried to get them to read the book, I Am Third, to just let them know just the whole hierarchy of these, of what they need to have in their life.
Now, Coach,
I hope I answered the question.
Yes. And so, Coach, you've been coaching at Graham for 5 years. And how long have you been coaching at the head coaching level?
This was my first head coaching job. So this okay. is my I'm going into my fifth season as a head coach. This was my first opportunity. I coached there before as an assistant, and then I was an assistant at Natomas for 7 years. And when the Grant job opened back up, you know, I knew I wanted to be a Pacer. And I love my years at Natomas, and you know, it definitely helped me become, you know, the coach I am. But no, I'm a Pacer for life. This was the job I wanted. And someone asked me, well, Coach, would you go to the next level? I said, absolutely not. I have no desire to coach at a college level or anything beyond. I know where my calling is. I know where I want to be. And I know I want to be a Grant.
For those of you just tuning in, Denard Wilson joining us here on the Double with the Double S Express. And Coach, you were mentioning just a few minutes ago the Sacramento Kings and, of course, the huge breaking news that came out as far as Coach Malone being fired from the Sacramento Kings. You know, the NBA is a business, and we know that, you know, just from the days in and days out, just finding out, you know, the ins and outs. But, of course, that was something that took us all by surprise. Where do you think Vivek Ranadive, the owner of the Kings, is trying to go, and do you know what coach he's possibly looking at right now?
Well, you know, I mean, well, you know, the rumor mill has it out there that it's looking at George Karl, which would be a great hire. There's also, you know, kind of out there that they might be interested in Mark Jackson. So there's some quality coaches out there. And when I go back to what happened, you know, I did a little reading about exactly what happened and how it went down and those things, you know, and now we're just kind of finding out as fans that, you know, Malone really was nobody's first choice. You know, it was a rush to hire. And I'm sure it works out for him, and he'll be back one day because he really is a good coach. But when you have that many people involved and nobody ever bought into one system, and he just – I don't think he ever had the support of all parties involved. You know, now things are coming out that, you know, Mitch Richmond – you know, what didn't necessarily want to go in that direction. And, you know, Shaquille O'Neal is one of the minority owners. He wasn't his first choice. And when they first went, they just got, they went and they got Jerry West, and they just asked his opinion. And because Jerry West said, you know, he's a great guy, they said, okay, let's take him. And, you know, nobody's happy with their second choice. Nobody.
Coach, you are mentioning some big time names in an organization. You talked about Mitch Richmond being a part owner and Shaquille O'Neal along with Jerry West. These are, you know, big time people in NBA. I mean, let's face it, Jerry West, he is the actual logo of the
He's
NBA.
The logo.
And so, you know, I something tells me you're on the right track here. The Kings are looking to bring a big time name in here. You know, we're talking about a stadium that's going to be complete here in 2016, probably one of the best arenas that you could possibly imagine. And so, you know, I'm sure that the Kings this time will not bring in somebody who's a second choice.
They won't. And, you know, it's just, you know, there was, you know, even they were saying there was some debate on draft night on exactly what to do. The philosophy of the team, are we going to go small ball and go up and down? Or, you know, our best player is a big man, and we're going to work everything through him. So I don't think they were ever really on the same page. You know, I agree with everybody else. It's kind of ironic that it happened the way it did and when, you know, when it happened, because aren't we, Stojakovic getting his jersey retired tomorrow?
Yeah.
Ceremonies coming up?
Yeah, big ceremony coming up for Peja Stojakovic getting his jersey retired. And of course, there's a lot of fanfare and celebratory that will continue to happen in Sacramento to, you know, to help better the fan base, of course. And, you know, Sacramento's doing an awesome job with, you know, selling season tickets, not just for this year, but going into next year as well. And so I'm sure the Kings want a big time name in here, and I'm just excited, you know, in the next week or so to see. I know, let's not gloss over Ty Corbin, because Ty Corbin was, you know, the head basketball coach at, you know, at with the Utah Jazz, and
at
so
Utah.
You know,
that's right.
You know, and I believe that Tyrone Corbin can definitely do a strong interim job, but again, I believe that the Kings are looking for that big time name.
I do. I mean, and I'd like to see a big time name. You know, I'm just, but I am excited. I'm excited about everything that's going on with the organization right now. And, you know, and even with this, they want to win. That's the one thing I think, you know, once again, we can all agree on is they want to win.
Yeah, and of course, it doesn't. Oh, go ahead, Coach. I'm sorry.
No, I was just going to say, you know, unfortunately, that's not happening right away. And sometimes we get impatient. And when you're not that big-time name, you don't have as long of a leash.
Yeah, exactly. And, of course, it doesn't help. Let's face it, just a little bit south in the Bay, there is a fantastic team that is playing in the Golden State Warriors, winners of 16 straight. And, I mean, you know, they have a tough, daunting task coming up here tomorrow against the Memphis Grizzlies, Coach. Are the Golden State Warriors for real?
You know, I want to believe they're for real. I want to believe in them. I really do.
But you have some doubts.
82 games is just a long. Like 82 games. And this is the West.
Right.
This is the West. Like, I'm going to tell you, like, I didn't realize, you know, that right now, even with the way the Kings are playing, they've had the second toughest schedule in the league this year.
Right. Yeah. So, and two games under 500, that's not bad.
It's not bad, especially if you're playing in the West. So, you know, I want to believe in the Warriors. I really do. But, man, 82 games is 82 games.
You know, my biggest fear is of course, you know, with the injuries that continually seem to plague a team, especially a team like the Warriors that get off to a great start. And Andrew Bogut, I mean, as well as he is playing right now, scares me. You know, and if you can't have a strong big man going into the postseason, you can hang it up. You know, I mean, I've yet to see an NBA championship won without a big man. I mean, just think of that. In recent years, over the past 10 years, show me a team that has won the NBA title without a big. It just doesn't happen. And, you know, and so, you know, Andrew Bogut has to be healthy. Derek Lee David Lee, I'm sorry, hasn't played yet this year. And of course, what are the Warriors going to do when he's implemented into the lineup? Somebody's going to have to take a seat. Andrew Iguodala actually stepped up big yesterday, and he has, you know, seen the bench quite a bit. Of course, Harrison Barnes is doing an awesome job, but you know, again, it all boils down to how strong are your bigs. And the Splash Brothers can do all they want, and I think that they're the most fantastic show in town. But when
they are
your bigs can't play, then you become a liability. And so, Coach, I'm a little bit worried about injuries with the Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, well, I agree, and it is the West.
Yeah,
and you know, I mean, I just think you really can't start looking at anything until after the All-Star break. You know, when some of those guys start hitting that mid-season wall, unfortunately, they're not depending on a lot of rookies.
Right.
When you start hitting that wall, and then you're going through that brutal West, you know, it just gets tough.
Well, let's shift gears here, and let's talk about your Los Angeles Lakers. Of course, there is a great celebration yesterday with Kobe Bryant passing who I call the GOAT, the greatest of all time, Michael Jordan, in scoring. And of course, the Lakers actually got the win that night. That's something huge that – you know, Kobe Bryant doing that.
You know, I'm happy for Kobe. he's definitely one of the Laker greats. But we're in for a long season. I'm already looking at the draft lottery. I'm trying to see exactly who we can pick up out of this year's draft because as much as I want to, I got to agree with Magic.
You can't want the Lakers to lose every single game. Say you it ain't what? So, Coach.
I think I don't want them to lose any games. I just don't think we're good enough to win them. Now, I mean, I think right now, if we're in the East, we might make the playoffs. Uh-huh. But in the West, we just don't have the roster. And you know, I mean, I'm proud to say I coached Nick Young, and I love the swaggy one. Uh-huh. But him and Kobe taking turns running down the court and shooting. I just don't think we're going to win a lot of games that way. Now, when we have to say the likes of,
Oh, Coach, thank goodness that the guru is not on the show here. I can only imagine that he would be eating this up as far as hearing you say that.
he would love it. He would love it.
Well, Coach,
I know we're getting ready to get off here, but I have to say this. I think Kobe has earned the right to not only get his $24 million, but to take all of the shots he wants to take.
Right. Yeah. And so with that being said, I mean, even if that broke up the cohesion of the team, because again, let's face it, there's a team aspect in this. And of course, Byron Scott would love to try, to impose his will as a coach and have some type of a foundation. So you're saying that Kobe should take precedence over that?
No, Kobe shouldn't, but he will.
Right.
No,
right.
He shouldn't. But I just think our front office has already, they've made their stance. They've said what they're going to do. And I'm just glad that, and I just hope they give Byron at least 5 years. And the reason I say 5 years, because these two are the two Kobe years. Or shall we call them the dark ages, the ice age, because we're not going to win.
And every franchise goes through them, and it's just unfortunate that the Lakers are going through that now, when they have one of the greatest players to ever play the game. It's just unfortunate.
And it goes, to at what point do you part ways with one of the greatest? It's almost like a coach has been, leading your franchise. Does he have the right to leave when he wants to? And I don't know. I think, Kobe's been pretty committed to the Lakers, and I think we should be committed to him. I would ask him if he wants to be traded. I wouldn't mind seeing him go, but at the same time, if he's going to be there, I just don't think we're going to win.
Well said, Coach. Well said. Denard Wilson, head coach of the Grant Pacers. Coach, we wish you continued success. Of course, there's a big game coming up December the 20th versus St. Ignatius of San Francisco, and that's at Merritt College. Of course, Sean Wally and myself had some ties there. We called a game for the IBL, the International Basketball League, at Merritt College once upon a time. And so, again, Coach, thanks for being on the show, and we're wishing you the best of luck throughout the year.
Thanks so much. Anytime, man. I'd love to be there. I got to get back in the studio with you here real soon.
That sounds great. You're welcome anytime, Coach.
All right. Make sure you tell Devon I said hello, man.
All right, I will.
All right, take care.
There goes head coach Denard Wilson, the high school basketball coach for the Grant Pacers. Coach Denard Wilson with a game coming up again, as I'd mentioned, against St. Ignatius. If you're in the San Francisco area, please make it out to that game and support the Grant Pacers. They are an exciting team, of course, a young team that is getting better day in and day out. So we are going to take a quick break, and when we return, of course, I'm believing that my co-host Sean Wally will be in the studio, or actually giving us a call. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express. Same time.
What's my image?
At Images Barbershop and Styles, you get the best cut, the best design, and the best styles in the Sacramento area. Plus the affordable price, along with the fun, family-friendly atmosphere, you'll walk away with a look of satisfaction and the feeling of a new you. Do you have your image?
We have ours!
Images Barbershop and Styles, located at 10040 Bruceville Road, Elk Grove, California, Suite 140. For appointments, call 916-271-0218. That's Images Barbershop and Styles.
I'm Chris Walls, and I'm a truck driver from Missouri. For 13 hours a night, I sit in my truck and I drive. Out of boredom, I'll stop and eat. If I'm not doing fast food, I guarantee there's a bag of chips open on my dashboard. Along with that, I'm good for about 4 liters of soda a night. That was all until Andro 400. I started out 4 months ago weighing 341 pounds, and since taking Andro 400, I have dropped 45 pounds. I'm sleeping better. There's no cravings. There's no excessive thirst. My knee pains went away. I've had some lower back issues, and I've noticed that that went away, and I can only contribute that to Andro 400. One thing that Andro 400 said on the radio ad says it attacks belly fat. Well, let me tell you, it did. I've lost 6 inches. This product really does work.
So guys, if you'd like to experience similar results, then get Andro 400, the safe, natural, and inexpensive way to boost your testosterone. Go to Andro400.com. Andro400.com.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boyd.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you're better with the brush fame.
Yeah. Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 84. And I've got my co-host back with me. For those of you who were listening earlier into the show, if you want to call and congratulate Sean Wally, you can call in. We're going to open up the phone lines at 888-429-5471, 888-429-5471. Sean Wally, welcome to On the Double with the Double S Express, my friend.
Coming to you from DIW, the land of Denver, the Broncos, Peyton Manning. Holding down the green and blue, the blue and green representing for the 12s, everybody back in the Pacific Northwest.
So, man, you're taking the time out to mention the 12s. And of course, at the beginning of the show, I sent a huge congratulatory, and this is well due, man. And, you know, this couldn't happen to a better person. You know, my brother in this business, my brother, period. And I just want to congratulate you personally on a tremendous feat as the MC of the Harlem Globetrotters. Man, how does that sound?
It's awesome. It's very surreal. It's been a great weekend, to say the least, a very crazy week, all the things that have gone on, and getting a chance to learn the Globetrotter way and meet everybody that it takes to put on this event in many, many cities and many countries, actually. It's just awesome to be a part of it and to hopefully do them proud.
You know, yeah, we won't get into all the ins and outs. I'm sure there are some things that the organization would like to keep private. But, you know, my question to you is has it sunk in yet? Has it sunk in that you're actually a part of the Harlem Globetrotters? You're going to be a part of this world-renowned organization traveling from one end of the country to the next?
Well, Sean, it gets more real every second, every minute, and especially today being in Phoenix for some training to get together with our crews and to be able to practice and to learn how things are done. And it's just, you know, the closer we get. I mean, our tour starts December 26th, and I haven't even been a part of this for a full week yet.
And that, you know, and that's the beauty of it all, is you received a phone call and, you know, you're at the ready. And it's amazing because, you know, not too many people would, you know, would jump at that. They would kind of, they would probably come up with an excuse or two and say, hey, I need, you know, a little bit of notice and this, that, and the other. but you were ready to go. This is something that you've always wanted to do. And for our listeners who know and have read your bio and listen to our show on a consistent basis, they know that this is who you are. This type of a business takes somebody to go at a moment's notice. And so, again, I'm so proud and I'm so excited, and I look forward to, you know, actually getting a chance to see you in action, man. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, thanks, Sean. And if you remember back to when we had Chris Peace on the show, a great public address announcer, he talked about having to have that bag packed and ready and waiting by the door. And, you know, that's something that obviously in the last week has come up, having a chance to jump at this, and it was either go or don't.
Well, hey, Sean, I think we have a caller that's calling in on the phone lines, and it's Chad. Chad from Washington. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I just wanted to be first to congratulate Sean Wally for his huge accomplishment with the Harlem Globetrotters. I cannot wait to see him here in Tri-Cities.
Well, that, man, that is awesome. And thank you for calling out. And Sean, you know, this is Chad calling in from Tri-Cities, you know, from your neck of the woods. And so, you know, there are a lot of people that are excited and pulling for you. And so, yeah, when the Globetrotters come to the Tri-Cities, Chad, make sure that you hook up with one half of the Double S Express.
I will, for sure. Like I said, Sean's definitely deserving of this, and he definitely deserves a shout-out. He's worked hard lots and lots of times with doing the freelance work with you and I, and a little SWX Sports this weekend. I mean, it sure is great to see that he is doing this job. It's unbelievable. So, and to be a close friend with Sean and you know, touching base with him daily, and I can't wait for this experience and hear all of his good stories on the bus rides. He's mentioned that he's going to cover about 10,000 miles in 4 months. So that's a huge, huge long time on a bus.
Well, Chad, thanks a lot, man. It's definitely been a crazy week, and good things are happening, and new pages are being turned, and doors are open, and we're just trying to get through them and do a good job. So I appreciate your support, man.
Always, Sean. Talk to you later.
Man, Chad, that's awesome for Chad calling in and congratulating. And, of course, you know, you're going to have a lot of people that are I'm sure your phone has been blowing up. And there's some, you know, I don't know how, if it's set in for you, because it really hasn't set in for me. So this is exciting. But let's go out to the Holy Smoke Nuts hotline. And we have guest number two coming in. And that is none other than Greg Bell, Seahawks insider. Hey, Greg, how you doing?
Good, good. How you guys doing? Sounds like you're doing well.
Yeah, great. Well, you know, you've got Sean Boyd down here in Northern California, and then we have Mr. Traveling World-Renowned Sean Wally in Denver at the DIW. And, of course, Sean, Sean's actually taking the MC job for the Harlem Globetrotters, Greg, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it is. Still playing the Washington Generals these days, are they not?
Yeah,
they're done with that, I think.
Yeah, I don't think they played anybody else. I, you know, we're gonna have to look that up in the annals of history if the Globetrotters have. I know at some point they played some other teams, but we're gonna have to go back and see what year that this whole Washington Generals thing has started. Or maybe, Sean, you already know that.
All I can say is get to an arena near you to find out.
That's awesome. Well, hey, Greg, a big, big weekend for you. Of course, the San Francisco 49ers, the hated foes, coming into Seattle. And, you know, this was a make or break for the 49ers. They had to win this one to stay in it. And, of course, the Seahawks wanted to make, you know, put a stamp on this game as well, as far as letting everybody know that they are back, and the Seattle Seahawks did just that, winning 17-7.
It took them a while. It was kind of ugly, actually, but they were down 7-3 at halftime, and Russell Wilson threw in a really bad interception in the last play of the first half that cost them 3 points. And the third time in two games he's made a play that's cost him a field goal. Yet the defense has been so good, it's overcome all that. And the defense continues to win games for this team. They held the Niners to just one score in the first quarter, and that was it. And they've completely shut down the running game that San Francisco had started in the first half. The penetration by the defensive line the last 4 weeks during this four-game winning streak has really been the difference. Michael Bennett's just been unblockable. They line him up at defensive end and run situations. Then in the past, they put him over the nose. The defensive tackle, a stand-up rush man from the inside, he's just too fast, getting off the ball for offensive linemen. And really the front four and even the outside linebackers blitzing on passing downs has been the big difference for the defense, and thus the Seahawks' four-game winning streak.
Now, Greg, you hit one valid point. The San Francisco 49ers came out, and it looked like, you know, that Frank Gore was actually going to have his way, and, of course, had a touchdown in the first quarter. And, you know, the running game was established. Carlos Hyde was doing his thing. The Seahawks came out, and they made the adjustments. And this is something that they've done all year defensively, is the Seahawks don't give up a lot of points. And if they can keep the point total down, that is something that – is very dangerous for the opposing team if they're thinking about winning.
They're 17.3 points a game allowed right now. It's second only by 0.3 points a game to Detroit in the league for the stingiest points allowed the Seahawks are. And that's really come the last month or so, like I said. They went back-to-back games holding the Cardinals to 3 points and the 49ers to 3 points. They shut down Philadelphia. That score ended up being 24-14, but they completely dominated that game on the defensive side of the ball, and then they gave up only one score again to San Francisco. What happened yesterday is what really helped them actually was when Frank Gore got hurt and then Carlos Hyde, the number two back, both got hurt, and they had Alphonso Smith in there in the second half, the Niners did, and the Seahawks admitted they didn't even know who he was. They've never seen him on film. They hadn't scouted him. They knew he wasn't going to be part of the game plan, and when 38 was in for San Francisco in the third and fourth quarter, they knew that he wasn't going to be an option around the ball. And then the entire defense centered on Colin Kaepernick, and he was not able to run like he did the first half. And pass rush got after him and sacked him six times in all. And that's what changed the game. But Seattle, as I said, has been very successful with their defensive front, getting penetration, disrupting both running lanes and getting to the quarterback to throw, to make quick decisions into coverage on passing downs. And that's the same recipe that Seattle had winning the Super Bowl last year.
Greg Bell joining us, the Seahawks insider from the Tacoma News Tribune. And Greg, it was nice to see the Seahawks offense actually try to open it up a little bit, have some intermediate to long range passing on Sunday against the Niners.
They were emboldened by Philadelphia last week. They'd run so well early in the game with Marshawn Lynch and with beat option plays with Russell Wilson that it allowed them to have time in the second half when the Eagles started to gang up on the run, slowed down their pass rush, and allowed them to make some downfield throws. And Doug Baldwin had a big play and a couple big plays, one for a pass interference penalty against the Eagles. So that emboldened the Seahawks to thinking they could do a lot more of that. Now, the 49ers did get after him quite a bit yesterday, 5 sacks of Russell Wilson. He was hit really hard on about 5 other throws after he threw the ball. A very controversial play that Ed Hockley, the referee, had called on Moody, the linebacker, for hitting Wilson late in the chest after a play that allowed Seattle to score their final touchdown. But you're right in that they're throwing the ball downfield more than they were a few weeks ago. Paul Richardson, the rookie second-round draft pick from Colorado, a Boulder way up there near Denver, he's starting to emerge a little bit as a downfield threat. They like to use his speed, and they just haven't had time to throw all season to let him run downfield. They're starting to get a little more of that now, but there's a huge challenge this weekend at Arizona in the pass protection department because the Cardinals sacked Wilson 7 times last month, even though the Seahawks won 19-3.
Greg, it's quite interesting how Pete Carroll always says it's not how you start, but how you finish, and Seattle is definitely looking to finish on the right note.
Finish is all they talk about, guys. There's signs in the locker room saying finish, and T-shirts they wear in the locker room, and it's in the weight room, and it's all they talk about. They're a third and fourth quarter team. They've controlled games for the last 2 or 3 years in the second half. Their scoring numbers and the imbalance of scoring is really weighted toward the latter part of the game. And a large part of that is because they rely on Marshawn Lynch running the ball, and a lot of his yards come at with the lead late in games when they just hand on the ball and go on 4- and 7- and 8-minute drives to steal away victories. It's all about finishing. That's what Pete Carroll did at USC. That's the mantra he's preached. He means it both within a game and within a season. His team was 3-3, as most people know, and they were 6-4 after Kansas City beat them last month. Now they've reeled off 4 in a row, and they really think they can win 6 in a row and go into the playoffs with home field advantage. There's a couple ways they need some help to do that, but if Detroit and Green Bay win this week, and Seattle wins their final two games, and the Seahawks are assured of the top seed in the NFC, which seemed unfathomable about 4 weeks ago.
Greg Bell, Seahawks insider for the News Tribune, joining us here on The Double. And talking about the game upcoming for the Seahawks, of course, the Arizona Cardinals, and that will be down in Arizona. Ryan Lindley, what do we know about him?
Well, not much. He was 2 years ago out of San Diego State, and Pete Carroll and his staff at the Seahawks looked at him as a potential draft pick. He went to Arizona. He's made 5 career starts, and he's got 0 touchdowns, 7 interceptions, and a 51% completion rate for his career. Of course, he was forced in last week at St. Louis when Drew Stanton injured his knee. It looks like Stanton's going to be out a month. Stanton was already filling in for Carson Palmer. So there is a lot of feeling up here in Seattle, both around the team, the city, the fans, and I even think within the team on the defense that, hey, wait a minute, there's no way we're going to lose the NFC West title to a third-string quarterback, and even though it's on the road. I just get the feeling that the Seahawks, the way they played defensively, they can't imagine that a third-string quarterback is going to take the NFC West title away from them this week. But Bruce Arians has proven to be a wizard with this offense, and he still chucks the ball downfield no matter who's throwing it. The Cardinals lead the league and have been leading the league most of the season in percent of throws beyond 20 yards is up near 22-23% last I checked. They're still probably going to chuck it no matter who's back there. Arians said today that Logan Thomas, the rookie from Virginia Tech, fourth-round draft pick, is even going to have a package of plays. And I don't know if that's gamesmanship to make the Seahawks have to game plan against him or not, but it's going to be a potpourri of quarterbacking the Seahawks are going to see. And what's the challenge is that they haven't seen either one of these guys, so they've got to come up with a new plan they haven't used before.
Yeah, I happen to think that could be a problem. It's almost like that middle relief pitcher that comes in. It takes you a little bit, to get used to him, and then all of a sudden, once you do, once you get a feel of it, you can knock it out of the park. But let's talk about the Arizona Cardinals defense and the Seahawks defense. There seems to be strong comparisons between the two. I know that I've compared this Arizona Cardinals defense to a very opportunistic and eager defense, such as the Seattle Seahawks and the Legion of Boom last year. I mean, do you see this being a, a hard-fought contest, low scoring?
Absolutely. I think Bruce Arians is going to play it that way, guys. I think he's going to be conservative, try to run the ball quite a bit. They were running the ball even when Carson Palmer was there. But even though Ellington's lead back is hurt, and Stephon Taylor is their lead back, former Stanford all-time rushing leader is now their lead back, they're still going to run the ball, and they're going to try to control the game and control field position, shorten the game. I expect the winning score to be in the mid-teens, 17 type of score, 17-13 type of game, and both teams relying on their defenses. But Arizona's defense is different in Seattle in that they blitz and take a lot more chances and are a lot more exotic. Pre-snap movements, calls, a lot more scheming goes on that side of the ball than Seattle does. Seattle basically just lines up in their 4-man front, 3 linebackers. Sometimes they go nickel, and they just play. And they play either cover 1 or cover 3. They either zone with Earl Thomas behind, or they go in thirds with the cornerback and Thomas in the middle and Maxwell and Sherman on the corners. And that's really all they do, and they don't really change that up. Arizona comes from everywhere, and they blitz from everywhere, and they have corner blitz, safety blitz. They do a lot more blitzing than Seattle does. But the comparison's apt because they're aggressive, like you said. And a lot of people think that Patrick Peterson and Richard Sherman are two of the best cornerbacks in the league, and there's a comparison there to how aggressive the secondaries are for both teams. But suffice to say that both teams have been winning with their defense for the last couple of years.
Now, Greg, as you'll see when you come on down to Phoenix, I just flew out of there a couple hours ago. There are billboards trying to get Kurt Warner to come on back.
to play this week.
That is crazy.
Yeah, they might need him.
That would be a definite way to, you know, bring excitement to Arizona and give them at least somebody who can throw the ball well and knows an offense, and he's got a great pedigree, but he's definitely up there in age.
Oh, yeah, he can still chuck it around, though. I'm not sure how mobile he is to get away from the pass rush, but, yeah, that would be a new wrinkle. That would be different. Brush a guy off of 3 or 4 years of retirement to come out and try to win the NFC West title. But I think that the Seahawks can do everything they can to put the game in Ryan Lindy's hands. That means stacking the run, 8-9 men in the box. Cam Chancellor's going to be really big against the run, and they're going to do everything they can to dare Arizona to throw, and I think Bruce Arians will throw, and that's the way he's proven to be as an offensive coordinator and now a head coach, is to throw the ball, and I think he's going to do that. So we'll see how good Lindy is against the number one team, number one defense in the league.
With a third or possibly fourth string quarterback for Arizona, do you see any way that the Seahawks don't come out with a victory?
Sure. This is not a gimme in any way. I mean, Seattle's offense has got problems, and they've been sputtering, and they've been inconsistent. Their offensive line remains a big problem, and I could see that Arizona's defense causing a lot of trouble again, and a lot of people up here are holding their breath on Russell Wilson's health. He's taken every snap in this 2014 season. Not too many quarterbacks can say that, and he's getting hit awful hard. And this offensive line, they're winning in spite or despite their pass protection. A team like Arizona can really exploit that and cause problems, cause turnovers, get the ball loose from Wilson. And that's, I think, Seattle's biggest concern, is protecting Wilson and protecting the ball against this Arizona scheming, blitzing, and ferocious pass rush. And I counted 8 other times last month when they played up here that Wilson avoided sacks. If you count the 7 times he was sacked, he really should have been sacked 15 times in that game. And most quarterbacks not as elusive as Wilson would have been sacked 15 times. That gives you an idea of how Seattle's offensive line is struggling. And, oh, by the way, they're starting left tackle, the linchpin of the blindside protection. Russell Okung's probably going to miss this game with a bruised lung he got yesterday. Center Max Unger may not play. He hasn't played in 4 games. It's high ankle sprain. So they've been ineffective, and they're also injured, and I think that's the way that Arizona can beat them.
It's going to be a battle in the desert. Greg Bell of the Tacoma News Tribune, Seahawks Insider, thank you so much for your time, and have fun in Arizona on Sunday night.
All right, thanks, and congrats on the Globetrotters. That should be great.
Hey, thank you very much, Greg.
You're welcome.
Follow Greg on Twitter at GBellSeattle.
So, man, Greg has me excited for this game, and you know, of course, if you're an NFL connoisseur, you would definitely love this Arizona Cardinal Seattle Seahawks game coming up, because this is almost a winner take all. This is a winner take all, Sean.
And it's probably going to be almost like an old black and blue division game where it is low scoring. And if there is any big play, whether it be a deep pass for a touchdown, or something on special teams, a return, a blocked kick, something out of the ordinary that could turn the game and have either side take over control.
Yeah, and I can't help but think that this game's going to be about 10-7. But, either way, this is the game of the century. This is the way the NFL is supposed to be played. 2 games left. Let's battle it out for supremacy, and this one should be exciting. So when we come back, after we take this quick break, we're going to talk a little bit about the weekend of Sean Wally a little bit more, because it goes far beyond the Harlem Globetrotters. So keep it locked in. You're listening to the best sports talk on the double with the Double S Express.
Guys, are you having trouble getting to sleep? Would you like to know the secret to getting a great night's sleep every night? Bruce Feeney discovered this secret. a new, all-natural sleep aid for men. Listen to what he says about it.
Hey, you know, I tried a product recently called Love to Sleep. It was a great product, helped me a lot. It took 3 or 4 days for it to start working in my system, and I fell asleep very quickly and got up rested. And if I got up during the middle of the night, I ended up coming back to bed and fell right back to sleep. I would recommend it to all my friends.
If you, too, would love to get a good night's sleep every night and wake up feeling great in the morning, try Love to Sleep, the new sleep aid for men. Your satisfaction is 100% guaranteed. And because Love to Sleep is all natural, it's completely safe, with no side effects or risk of dependency. Go to lovetosleep.com. That's lovetosleep.com.
Who likes the inconvenience of car repairs? Not only do car repairs take time and money from you, but can you even trust your repair shop? Nate, Dave, and the team at Platinum Automotive Services in Tri-Cities, Washington are honest and trustworthy, and they take great care of your vehicle. From the basic oil change to full engine rebuilds, they do it all. Like the Platinum Automotive Services Facebook page for a shot at a free oil change. Platinum Automotive Services, platinum service without the platinum price.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Sean Wally and Sean Boy.
Standing in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. And the world's gonna know your name. Yeah. Cause you fell with the brush frame. Yeah.
Welcome back to On the Double with the Double S Express. Show number 84 is almost in the books here. This segment brought to you by Chandler Reach Winery. And Sean Wally, of course, we've talked about the new gig with the Harlem Globetrotters, but you've had an amazing weekend starting the weekend out and calling a game for the SWX channel and kind of give our listeners what SWX is.
Well, SWX is a cable channel out of Spokane that also broadcasts down in Tri-Cities and Yakima, Washington. They even go into Idaho and Montana. And they're a sports and weather 24/7 cable network, and they broadcast live games of high school sports. And I got a call on Friday asking if I could do what you normally do, Sean Boyd, color analyst duties for not one but two high school games in Yakima, and got to do a girls game followed by a boys game, West Valley at Eisenhower.
Man, that sounds awesome, you know, getting a chance to switch positions there. So, you know, tell me, what is it like, of course, you being a play-by-play person, and you get a little comfortable with the, you know, with that position, but was it easy to make that transition from play-by-play to color analyst?
Well, I've learned a lot from you, working with you for two seasons with the Tacoma Thunder, and then, of course, all the great analysts from the major sports networks that we have the chance to meet and hear what they do. And not only that, but just watching and listening to games and learning from guys that are at the top of their game and the top level in broadcasting. So, you know, I tried to describe the game and hopefully did a decent job, and we'll see if I get a call back to be back on the air on SWX.
Well, I can tell you this, Sean Wally, you look dapper on TV. It's not every day that I get a chance to see my boy there with the blazer and the tie on, but you look the part, man, and I was excited to actually see that. And is there a way that our listeners can actually view the game? Is it recorded, and can they pull it up somewhere?
It is supposed to be available at SWXRightNow.com, video on demand. They said it'll be probably through Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. It just depends how quickly they put more videos up. And what it does is it holds 10 videos, and when they add more, the 10th drops off, and so on. So just depends how quickly they add more video. Those two games should be up at SWXRightNow.com.
Now, of course, Sean, we had talked about the, you know, with the Globetrotters, you are going to be taking off, I believe, the day after Christmas. Is that correct?
No, sir. Christmas morning, flying out of Seattle for Baltimore, and our tour starts in Baltimore on the 26th.
And then, you know, out there on the East Coast, something tells me that you will be visiting the Holy Grail of arenas, that is Madison Square Garden in New York City. Are you excited about that?
The enormity of that, I don't even know that I can fathom, and it will be after the first of the year. I believe the second, possibly the third as well. Our tour will be at Madison Square Garden, so that will be just a great, fun opportunity.
Man, I'm excited for you, man. Make sure you post a lot of stuff on our Twitter and on the Double S Express page, and I look forward to seeing all the upcomings from you, and you'll probably send me a few glides as well.
Definitely. We'll keep you and all of our friends, family, and fans here of the Double S informed as best I can on travels, and it's going to be interesting. You know, it's winter, and who knows what the weather will be like back east in the Midwest, and you know, the Globetrotters have been doing this for 89 years, so they know what they're doing. So it's definitely a great organization.
Well, Sean, you know, like I've said before numerous times, I am so happy for you and so excited. And, man, I just can't wait for this to get started for you. And you know, I'm expecting some best, you know, the best things. There are some more things, better things going to happen for you here in the near future.
Well, thanks a lot, Sean. You've been there through the thin, the thick, and everything in between, and we've gone through most of it together, and I'm not sure if you noticed what I posted last night on Facebook, but you know, you're a fabulous MC, public address announcer yourself, and there's some video, a blast from the past, from your Sac High public address days that I reposted to Facebook.
Oh man, you know what, I didn't get a chance to go out there and take a look at that, but my goodness, yeah, you're bringing back some fond memories, and of course having one of our guests on earlier in the show, one that you missed, and I know that he would have loved to talk with you, and that's head coach Denard Wilson of Grant High Pacers, and you know, he remembers those days as well, and those are fun times, Sean. Those are times that, you know, you kind of establish yourself as an announcer, a public address announcer, and where you're going to go from there, and you know, it's just another notch in the belt for me. And of course, you know, I expect some great things for myself as well. And so, you know, having Denard on was great today.
Yeah, I was able to listen as our plane landed in time for me to catch a good portion of that. And it was great to have Coach Wilson on, and he's doing good things with his team and not only teaching basketball, but life skills as well.
Yes, and of course, guest number two, we had Greg Bell, Seahawks insider for the News Tribune. And so again, an action packed show. You know, for those of you who are avid listeners and are kind of questioning and wondering, hey, what happens next with the Double S Express? Does that mean that, you know, the shows are going to stop? By no means are these shows going to, are they going to stop? We're going to continue to bring you the best sports talk week in and week out on Mondays, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Again, guest number one, Denard Wilson of the Grant High Pacers. And of course, wishing him continued success on the year. And guest number two, Greg Bell, the News Tribune's Seahawks insider. Show number 84, Sean Wally, where is the time going?
You know, before we know it, we'll be at 100. And between now and then, there may be a couple special guest hosts filling in for me if I'm tied up. And I will do what I can to join you as much as I can from the road, for sure. And, you know, I'm here at DIW in cold but not snowy Denver today. And I got a plane to catch to get back to the Pacific Northwest. Lexi, if you're listening, I'm on my way home.
Well, that means that is it for show number 84. Hey, and Sean, as we go out here, I got some cool, cool music for you as we exit out here. Hey, our engineer Don Newsom hopefully has that cute.
Hey man, who's that cat?
There it is.
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that's just a man with the bone. Sure having himself a ball.
Awesome stuff.
No better way to go out.
Well, that's gonna do it for On the Double with the Double S Express, show number 84 in the books. For Sean Wally, I'm Sean Boyd. We'll talk to you next week.
For listening to On the Double with the Double S Express. Join us next Monday for some more great sports talk and big-time guests. On the Double with the Double S Express.